I want to remind you of a verse that we've talked about, and in the context of Thomas doubting Jesus, and whenever Jesus spoke to him in John chapter 20, the last part, Jesus told Thomas, he said, reach your, in verse 27, reach your finger and behold my hands, reach it into thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. Can you follow with me? Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Many other signs, John said, truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book or in the book of John. But these are written, note, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ or the Messiah of the Old Testament, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. This word believe is often mistaken for just an assumption of something, and we're pretty sure that it's so. This word believe literally means to trust with the thought of putting action into that trust. I was thinking earlier this morning, how many of you remember the back in the 50s, not the 18s, the 19s, county fair at Rockport, and they had these big barrels. I don't know, they were maybe 20 feet across or whatever, wooden barrels, and they may have been 30 feet high. How many remembers those barrels that they raced motorcycles in them or ran motorcycles in them? Some of you are looking at me like, you got to be kidding. I'm glad there's a few people here that remembers it. There may have been some of you there that heard the motorcycles, but anyhow, you climb up steps on this big wooden barrel, and there was a man in there that rode a motorcycle, and at the bottom of the barrel, they kind of had an incline. Brother Jones, you remember this?
I don't remember that far back.
No, you probably don't, right? Okay. Okay, all right. But on the bottom of this big barrel, it had an incline there for this guy riding the motorcycle could get up on the side of this barrel, and he would ride his motorcycle around the inside of this barrel. And so his motorcycle would be like this, okay, because he's riding this thing on the inside of it. And if I hadn't seen it, I wouldn't believe it. But he did, and in fact, they even had two motorcycles running at the same time.
Yep.
Now, how many have seen this? Raise your hand if you saw. Okay. All right. Great, a few of you. Now, okay, you know that to be so. Now, I remember one time, you can climb up these steps and you can stand there and you can look over. You can actually put your hands over the top of that big barrel. It had kind of a little banister around it. You put your hands over there. Now, sometimes they would get about that close to the top of that barrel. And, you know, it's just natural. You move your hands back.
Yeah.
And when they get a little bit closer, you'd move you back. Because this guy's riding a motorcycle. And it's a pretty good-sized motorcycle. And then I remember one time, I was really intrigued by that. And this feller asked, he said about how safe it was and such, and he said, you've seen it happen. And he said, would you believe that I could even put a rider on the back of this motorcycle? How many of you believe that? He said, oh, yeah, everybody believed that. Okay, I need a volunteer. And he didn't get one. Now, you see, that's kind of what, this is what John was writing about. This is what Jesus meant when he said, Thomas, you've seen me and believe. Blessed are those who don't see me like us. And yet they believe. This word believe means to trust to the point of acting on it. There's a lot of people there, you know, that would say, oh, yeah, I believe you can have a rider on it. You want to ride? No. I can tell you why. It wasn't because they were just scared of riding motorcycles. It was because they didn't believe he could really do it. I mean, really, you know, not to the extent of putting it into action. Now, I want to share something with you that's going to be good news for you. Jesus made the statement of believing, and he says that believing you might have eternal life. Okay, believing to the point that you put it into action. Now, down through the years, I've learned a lot of things, but a lot of them I don't know. Somebody asked me yesterday, up at the funeral home, they said, at our age, we forget a lot of things, don't we? And I said, no. I said, actually, I don't. In fact, I can't remember a single thing I've ever forgotten. And so I stand by that, okay? That I do not know anything that I've forgotten. Gotten older, my perspective of relationship with God has changed a lot. You say, wow, preacher's perspective's changed? Oh, yeah. And it's good that it does. There was, what's his name? Peter. He had a problem with that. He has changed. But I can remember my first years in pastoring where, I knew what it took to be saved. And if you didn't look it, you probably were not.
Yeah.
Hmm. And I got in some pretty big trouble with God,
yeah,
with my theology, with my biblical beliefs. And sometimes, you know, God had to get pretty rough with me. And so, what I'm saying is, you know, the first church that I pastored, well, I pastored one before this up in Pennsylvania for about 15 and a half years. When I went there, it was a strong UPC church. I mean, really strong, you know, and you had to have your hair a certain way, and you had to look a certain way, and act a certain way, and do certain things, and generally in a church like that, if you watched a TV, I mean, forget heaven. But that's okay, you know. But I was not that extreme. But I was extreme in my belief from what was really true in reality. And so God would get on to me. And, you know, I can kind of picture like God slapping my hands, only he slapped my head. You know, I mean, come on, man, you ever going to get this right or not? And so when I realized the grace of God, then I got in hot water from a lot of people. And I became accused of compromise when it would have been easier to have compromised. You know, you can't just believe and go to heaven. Well, you know, I read things like we read here in John, and it is true you can't just believe unless you have a belief that puts you into action about it. So we could say, you know, Jesus said, him that believes, you can have eternal life. So, you know, you got to do more than that. So I assume Jesus got it wrong. But I found out later he didn't. But I want you to know this morning that going to heaven is not difficult. The problem is that when we get prepared to go to heaven, so many times we stop. That's all we do. Well, as long as I get to heaven. That is not what salvation is about, just getting to heaven. Not by a long ways. Paul teaches in Romans that because of the work of Christ, we have gained more in Christ than what we lost through the fall of man, through sin. Okay? And so because we become Christians and we do gain eternal life, and eternal life is tremendous. But it's sad that we have left so much behind. You see, the grace of God is something that is so powerful that it of necessity changes our lives. I want to ask every person in here this morning. I want to challenge you to accept the grace of God. Amen. The grace of God. That you will accept eternal life, going to heaven, just by the work of Jesus. You said, but preacher, you make that awfully easy. Well, you see, the price was paid on the cross. When he became our sin. He became our sin. Scripture says he became sin. If you wanted a poster child for sin, Jesus. He became our sin, the scripture says. And on the other side, he made it possible that we could have the righteousness of God. Amen. We could have the righteousness of God. I want to tell you what, there's some pretty rotten people that have been down through this journey on planet Earth that we would say, oh, surely they can't just go to heaven because they repent of their sin. Yeah, they can. If they believe to the point that they receive this and they act on it. And so, what often happens with us who are religious, if we're not careful, we will stop. Happy that we're saved and we're going to go to heaven and that's it. But what I want you to see this morning is that God wants us to so believe this that we'll get on the back of that motorcycle, amen, so to speak. Amen. That we will do what he asks us to do. Amen. I mean, what his word says. I had a hard time with this even. You know, where Jesus said, and John says, no, the epistle writers said, you know, what does God require of us? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself.
That's right.
You mean that's it? Try it. Try loving people like Jesus says, and Brother Mark talked about this a lot in Matthew, Sermon on the Mount, where he said, love your enemies. He didn't say tolerate them. He didn't say just forgive them. He said love your enemies. Okay. Do good to those who despitefully use you. People take advantage of you. People that will burn you the next time they get an opportunity. Love them. Well, you can't do that unless you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. So let us look at something here. Turn with me to Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. And in view of this, okay, what we are looking at is that we will accept eternal life from Jesus based 100% on grace. Grace. Grace is that love that the person that gives us grace is looking for an opportunity to do good to us. God is looking for an opportunity to do good things for you.
Amen.
Okay. Now, in chapter 1 of Galatians, follow with me here. He says in verse 3, grace be to you in peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, when he talks about Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus is the humanity of Jesus. Christ is the Messiah. He's the God. He's holy. Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. He gave himself for our sins. Okay, you see your name in there? Oh, yeah, there's us. Our. Who gave himself for our sin. Okay, so we have done something. We sinned. That he might deliver us from this present evil world, which that means the one you're in right now, according to the will of God and our Father. Now, in verse 6, he says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel. You were called. He's saying to these people at the church of Galatia that they're turning back to the law and as such, some of them. He said, I marvel that you had opportunity to have the grace of God, God wanting to do something really good for you, and you turn back to the law. I'm amazed that you would do that. He said, this other gospel, the law, the one that I've preached to many times, do this. If you're going to be a Christian, you've got to do this. Well, you know, let me give you an example. Now, we all know, you know, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because we'd have to throw you out. But we know you can't go to heaven and smoke. Okay, we all know that. Okay. I'm kidding you, of course, but some people take that really serious. Well, they can't go to heaven. They're Christians. You know, they think they're Christians, but they smoke. Okay, but you see, now smoking is not good for you. It won't send you to hell, but it might make you smell like you've been there. But it has nothing to do with your relationship with Jesus. Okay? Now, it may kill you. Very possibly, smoking will kill you. I used to smoke. I smoked, I think, once or twice. The first time I smoked, it was a grapevine, and the neighbor caught me. And he ratted on me. He told my dad. And, you know, we lived out in the country. I mean, man, if you can't trust a country neighbor, who can you trust, huh? Okay, but anyhow, God didn't let me go down that path. Okay, but you see, we come up with things of how people have to live. But there's a place for that, absolutely. But it has nothing to do with going to heaven, okay? We usually stop before we get beyond that point. Okay, he says, I can't imagine that you turn from the grace of Christ to another gospel, which is really not another. And in verse 7, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of God, of Christ, or the work that Christ did. The gospel of Christ is that Jesus and Jesus alone made a provision for you to have your sins forgiven, trusting in him, that he became your sacrifice. Period. That's it. You see, what I want you to do this morning, young and old alike in here, teenagers, young people, I want you to be challenged that this day you would ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and believe him that he has the power and let him take it from there. Believe me, you ask him and he will. He said he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Okay, and then you know what? He'll start dealing with you. He'll start changing you. And if he doesn't, other people will. Okay, but he wants to change you. He wants to change me. He wants us to have a relationship with him. God wants us to have a relationship with him. We've got a lot of living to do after we leave planet Earth. In fact, we have a forever of living to do. And a lot of what we're going to do through forever has to do with what we do right now. Okay, so let's prepare ourselves for a relationship with him. Paul says, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Anybody come telling you that the grace of Jesus is not sufficient for eternal life? He said, let him be pushed aside. Let him be accursed. That's a strong word. Okay, that the blessings are not going to come upon him, is what he's saying. And he says, as we said before, so say I now, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Because this is serious stuff. Okay, consider this, if you would. Verse 13. You have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God, and I wasted it. Okay, he's saying I've done some terrible things. In 14, he says it profited in the Jews' religion above. I profited among in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceeding zealous of the tradition of my fathers. And he's saying, man, I was gung ho about keeping the law. Paul is acknowledging his keeping of the law. He says that he was called in verse 15. He said, from my mother's womb, he had called me into his grace to reveal his son unto me that I might preach him among the heathen. He said, God called me. When I was a child, I recognize now that he called me to preach this gospel of the grace of God. In chapter 2 of Galatians, I'm sorry, let's go to chapter 4. I'm going to watch our time here. In chapter 4, let me see here. Look in chapter 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Okay, in verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Now, this is important, last part of verse 14. Okay, the blessings come, the promise comes to us that God, that was given to Abraham through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Okay, so through faith, it's all through faith. We ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins. I challenge you to do that. You ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, and he will forgive you. And not only that, he says he will give you his Spirit. As we've talked about and seen in a multitude of scriptures, when you ask him to forgive you, he will give you his Spirit. There's where things start. You ask Jesus before you leave here today, if you've never done this, Lord Jesus, I believe you have the power to forgive me of my sins, and I ask you to forgive me and help me to serve you. He will give you his Spirit to help you. Hello? It doesn't mean he's going to make you feel any different. He may not. The more you believe it, the more you will be able to comprehend it. So, this blessing of Abraham comes upon us through faith, okay? Now, he says in verse 29 of chapter 3 of Galatians, if you be Christ, that means you've asked him to forgive you, then you're Abraham's seed. Because, talk about the lineage of Abraham, the great, great, great grandson of Abraham, so to speak. All the promises become yours because you're heirs according to the promise. You're heirs. See, what happens when you become a Christian? You ask Jesus to forgive you. You become a Christian. Now, you become an heir of his. You get his inheritance, okay? Whatever he's got, you get. Okay? And it's not divided up because he has so much that he's got an overabundance. You know, life and that more abundantly. He's got so much for you that everybody in the world could have what you're going to get and he still wouldn't run out. He gives us an heirship. Now then, we are related to Creator God. We're related to God. So we go from being lost and going to hell to becoming a son or daughter of God through the work of this man, Jesus. Okay. Now, it is so simple, it's pretty hard to miss it. It's pretty hard to not go to heaven. Because if you believe that Jesus was born of God and man, God was a father, Mary had a baby boy, she was a mother, God and man. This man, Jesus, he said he was God. He didn't think a robbery to be equal to God. He was God. Okay, and so now we've become, from a child of the devil, Jesus said to those who didn't trust him, said, well, your father's the devil. And so, if you remain in that state, you do not ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Your father's the devil. Now, I'm not making fun of you. I'm not accusing you. I'm just telling you that Jesus said your father is the devil. Your father in the spiritual realm is the devil. Okay? The fathers have tremendous influence over their children because God gives them that influence. God gives you influence over your children. A father or a mother can pray for a child with a greater influence than anyone else on planet Earth. And they have a greater responsibility. Likewise, in the spirit realm, devils have power over children of the devil. Okay, so it's important. It's really important. So we become heirs, and he says in chapter 4, verse 1, now I say that, chapter 4, Galatians, that as long as he is a child, the heir, as long as he's a child, is no different from a servant, okay, even though he's an heir. So we have a two-year-old child here, and he's the heir of maybe a tremendous fortune, but, sorry, he doesn't get to go buy all the Skittles he wants to because he's a child. See, now there's where we stop. Paul says that sometimes we behave as children. Hebrews says, you know, you ought to be teaching others when you're still a child. Because we're big doesn't mean that we've grown up. Not in the spiritual world by a long ways. Sometimes there's some pretty big little children. Okay, they understand God better than some adults do. Okay, so he says, because you're an heir doesn't mean that you get all that's coming to you. Now, and so he talks about the tutors and the governors are going to, look at this verse 2. But under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father, we will find that there is a time called the fullness of time. When the fullness of time comes, that which is supposed to happen will happen. So he says, there's a time here, time appointed. Okay, now he says that in verse 3, even so we, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. We were children and we didn't get to do what we wanted to do. It starts raining, and mom and dad says, come in out of the rain. Oh, I want to stay out and walk in the puddle. Nope, you got to come in out of the rain. He says, that's because we're just children. Verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, made of a woman, was made under the law. Mary was a sinner. Mary called Jesus her Savior. Yes, sir. She was born under the law. But he came, verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law. Look at this, verse 5. That we might receive the adoption of sons. That's the key. That we might be adopted into the family. Have we changed fathers? We are adopted into the family. And because you are sons. Now put this together. God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. See, when we accept Jesus, he gives us his Spirit. By grace. It's all by grace. So far, we haven't done anything yet, see. And he says, he cries, Abba, Father, are we by his Spirit, we have this relationship, okay, by the Spirit. That the Spirit of Jesus. As Romans said, you know, if that same Spirit that raised up Christ lives in you, you know, dwells in you, it'll bring you out of the grave also. Okay, wherefore, in verse 7, thou art no more a servant, but you're a son or a daughter. And if you're a son or daughter, then you're an heir of God. You're an heir of God. You're an heir of he who controls the universe. Amen. I'm talking about everything, including heaven. You are an heir. Whatever he has is yours, friend. We do not live with that understanding up here. Now, how did it start? It started by us asking Jesus to forgive us of our sins. And by his grace, he forgives us. We're his child. You may not look any different, may not act any different, may not smell any different. But you're a child of God. And now you're an heir of all this. And he loves you, my friend. He says in verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but you're a son. If you're a son, then you're an heir of God through Christ or through the work of Christ. Hello. He's trying to get this across to them. Okay? If you turn to Jesus, he will make you an heir of God. You're not a servant anymore. And Jesus said, I don't call you servants anymore. I call you friends. Okay, now then, Go to Ephesians, probably a couple pages over towards Revelation in your Bible, and I want you to see something in Ephesians chapter 1, and then we're going to close. Follow with me here. Okay. In verse 3 of chapter 1, follow with me. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of the man Messiah. Look, God through Jesus, God, hath blessed us. First of all, notice he said, blessed be God. In other words, this blessing is good things are going to happen. Well, because of this work of grace that Jesus gave us, he said, well, God gets the first blessing. You know why he draws you to him? Because he likes you and it really makes him feel good. He loves you. He loves you and he wants you to do what is right because it blesses God. And he says, and then secondly, he says, who hath blessed us, in the middle of verse 3. He hath blessed us. God blesses us. God is blessed when we turn to him. Now then, he wants to bless you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in the work of Christ. Wow. Now, we're still talking about the grace of God. We haven't done anything yet except accept him. Now, here's how it's done. According, verse 4, as he hath chosen us. He chose something. He chose us before the foundation of the world. Before he ever made the world, he chose something. What he chose was that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. It's not our love, it's his love. We're going to be holy. You know what? There's two of you here, at least, that have been real rascals in your lives. Bad, bad, bad. Could be as many as three. And I know. You're thinking, how does he know? I know. Okay. Really bad people. I mean, your father was a devil and you were destined for hell. I mean, bad, bad. If it hadn't been for the mercy of Jesus, you'd probably already be dead. And you say, oh man, he does know who I am. That's okay. But he says, what he did is he, verse 5, predestinated. Now, predestinated means he's going to do something no matter what happens. Okay. And this is the only thing that's ever been predestinated. Okay. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, we're predestinated. You're going to heaven or hell. No, you're not. What is predestinated is his plan. And his plan is that we can be adopted. Having predestinated us, verse 5, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. This is what he wants to do. So, before the foundation of the world, God planned something, and that was that whoever wants to come to him comes to him by adoption. This is what God came up with. And you're going to come up, this person gets adopted by this God-man, Jesus, taking this person's sins because they ask him, they believe that he is who he says he is. They believe that and ask for forgiveness. And therein, they are predestinated to be adopted. Adoption is the only way you get into heaven. You've got to be adopted into the family of God. And this is according to good pleasure of his will. Look, verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace. It's so that he might get recognized of grace. You know, whenever we do something, we can tell people, you know, well, you know what? I fasted for 3 days. Wow, you did? Whoa, people think I'm spiritual for that. I think I'll fast for 30 days. You know, well, you see, we try and do things. And if we can gain any favor with God by our works, then we'll hang on to that. But sorry, friend, we don't gain favor with God. It's grace. It's grace. It's a gift. So, he says, this is to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein, or by His grace, He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. I tell you what, if Jesus accepts me, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. If He accepts me, people say, oh yeah, I know. You say you're a Christian, you trust in Jesus, but I don't believe that. Well, go talk to God about it, okay? Because we're accepted. We're accepted in Him, in the Beloved, in through whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to His good pleasure, which He had purposed in Himself. He decided this by Himself, and He purposed He's going to do this. And when God decides He's going to do something, friend, He's going to do it. Look at verse 10. That in the dispensation, in the time when the fullness of time comes, that He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth. He made these promises to us. Friend, you go ahead and read the rest of this chapter, and you will find that by grace, we go from being lost, like those two or three of you that I mentioned about. We go from being lost and destined for hell, ungodly sinners, to being having our sins forgiven and being adopted in to God's family. And He is good to His kids. Okay. Now then, we have to do this, my friends. We have to do this. We have to decide, first of all, I'm going to do this. Then you have to plan. Okay. See, our problem is we ask Jesus to forgive us and we stop. But now we're His sons. You know, If someone adopted you and you found out that they own businesses, they own countries, whatever, you say, oh, you know what, someday I need to get with them. Not me. I'd ask them to send an airplane for me and I'd go find them real quick. And I'd ask him, hey, would you give me a couple B and I want to send to Gorkha Mountain in Nepal? Well, you see, we can go to our Father. We can go to our Father because He's adopted us. So don't stop. Because you ask Him to forgive you, every one of you, every young person here, before you walk out these doors, you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. He will forgive you of your sins and He will give you His Spirit. I promise you. It has nothing to do with your feeling. But don't stop there. Realize who you are, okay? Who you are in Him and ask Him to help you. And He wants to pour out upon us blessings that we have never experienced. He wants to reveal Himself to us and He wants to show Himself, help us to know who He is because He really, really, really loves us. I'm going to ask our worship team to come down. I want to thank you for your patience and your attentiveness, appreciate that so very much. Please, before you leave here this morning, you can come down to this altar. I remember when I was 17 and a half years old, I remember walking down the altar in the old Bethel Church, or walking down to the altar in the left aisle, down to the altar right beside the steps, it would be over here on the right, and asking Jesus to forgive me my sin. My life was never the same after that. I was 17 years old, and I want to encourage you to do that. I knew very little about serving God, but see, He lets us know, here little, there little, line upon line, precept upon precept, from glory to glory, He says. He really loves you. Before you leave here today, would you consider giving Jesus your sins, and He'll start doing a work in your life. Many of you know that. I appreciate young people here, young adults, that growing so much in the Lord. And he's got things for you. Let Him keep working in your life. And it only gets better and better. Stand together with us. We're going to have a word of prayer. And then as our worship team just shares a couple songs here, I would like for you, before you leave, young or old, I'd like for you to talk to Jesus because He loves you. He loves you. I want to ask a question. Posey Sue here? Is she here? Okay. 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 Who's going to have prayer with? We've been praying. Lord God, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, that you're the great physician. You're the great everything, everything, everything. Lord God, I ask you to minister to every person here. Lord, every person that hears our voice, let us, before this hour is over, that we will ask Jesus to start us on that road. Lord God, to get us on that journey to where today we know if we go out into eternity today that we get to go to heaven. But Lord, we don't want just heaven. Lord God, we want to have that relationship with God, Creator God, that was purchased for us on the cross. Lord, your word says in Psalms that sin that separates us from God. But your grace, Lord, takes away that separation. Thank you for it, Lord. And help us to grow in you. And Lord God, to grow in our knowledge and understanding. But Lord, just that every person hears our voice. Be ready to meet you today. We may get a phone call before the day is over that so-and-so suddenly went out into heaven. Let us know, Lord, that they made a decision to serve you. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you talk to him? Please talk to him right now, worship team. You may want to pray for a loved one.